Bibles and open to Ephesians chapter 4, where we've been for the last 3 weeks. Let's get all my stuff out of the way here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. I like to call this thinking. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. So I tell you this. Is my mic on, by the way? Okay, all right. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Father, I come to you tonight and ask, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts as we need to hear it. Lord, your word is always right on. It's always what we need to hear. There's never been a time, Father, when we open your word and you don't speak, if we'll just listen. And so, Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I realize that most people that come on Wednesday nights are people who are walking with you and they care, Lord, and they're learning and they're growing. And yet, Father, all of us can find ourselves sometimes with stinking thinking, and we just need to remember what you say in your word and help us, Lord. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, first of all, talks about the condition of the minds of those who don't believe what God has said. He said, I tell you this, I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as those do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. He says the futility of their thinking. Paul describes their stinking thinking here. It's the Greek term matatarati, which means the type of thinking that will never succeed. You know, I see people who say that they're going to do this and this and this, and I think that's not going to get you where you need to go. But in their mind, it seems to be right. It seems to be the way that they ought to go. And so that's the way they go. But those of you that have been that way, and myself, when I've gone that way, I can tell you that's not the way to go, right? But many times they won't listen. And that kind of thinking is never going to succeed. A lost person cannot come up with the right answer on their own. I tell you what, folks, if you're lost without Christ, you don't know how to get there. You don't know the way. And until somebody explains it to you, until somebody takes the time and shares with you, until somebody takes the time to live it in front of you, they don't have a clue. And that's why so many people are looking for something to fill up their joy hole. And they try everything and they can't find it. They don't know what it is. So they try everything that the world says is important. So they work harder. They work longer hours. They build a pension. They do this and that. And before long, their whole life is wrapped up in the things of this world. But when they get to the end of their life, they realize that wasn't it. A lost person can't come up with the right answer on their own. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says it like this. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only by the Spirit. I tell you, folks, when you try to explain to someone who doesn't know God, doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, why you do the things you do and why you know that God is leading you in these, they don't have a clue. They don't get it. Because they're not spiritually alive. It's like us going to a corpse and saying to this corpse, get up, you're not really dead. It's not going to respond, is it? Because he's dead. He can't hear, he doesn't understand. It's the way people are who don't know Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You know, when Paul was writing this letter to the church at Rome, he was writing it to people who lived around this kind of thinking all the time. And people were looking everywhere and trying everything and serving multiple gods, little g gods, little idols that they thought would bring them what they needed. And they would run after them. And they would do anything. And basically, they gave up their own ability to even comprehend that what they were doing was worshiping things that were made by their own hands. I mean, how stupid is that really when you think about it?
Well, see, I'm going to build an idol, now I'm going to worship it.
That doesn't really make a connection, does it? And yet, when you're so far away from God, you're looking for anything. And you'll believe anything. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says it like this. The fool says in his heart, there isn't even a God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good. I tell you what, folks, that's the progression that we see right there. We see people who are looking everywhere. They don't see what they need. Then they make idols of their own hands. And then they finally come to a point that I don't even believe there is a God. Because if there was a God, He would have already done something for me. He did. Yes. He did. But they don't know it. They're futile in their thinking. Thinking that it's never going to succeed. And then He goes on to say, and they're darkened in their understanding. In other words, they're in the dark. They don't have a clue. The Greek term is eschatismoni, which means deprived of light and covered with darkness. I think all the time of my experience when I was a young boy. We went to Carlsbad Caverns. Anybody ever been there? In Carlsbad Caverns, many, many, many years ago, they don't do this anymore, but many, many years ago when I was a kid, they would take you down to the very bottom part of the caverns that you could get to, and there was a place that was called the bottomless pit. And you could throw a rock in there and you'd never hear it hit the bottom. It was supposedly so deep, anyway. And so right next to it was this area where you could sit down, and they had all of us sit down and they said, do not move because we're going to turn the lights off. And when they did, I guarantee you, you could see nothing. And this was back before you could pull a phone out and turn it on and have light or whatever. You could see nothing. You'd go just like this and you could not see anything. It was so dark. That's why they had you sit down, because they didn't want anybody walking off into the bottomless pit, because you would never see it again, right? So, I mean, it was so dark. And folks, that's a picture of what he's talking about here. People get to a point in their life where they see no hope. They see no help. They see no God. Because they continue to alienate themselves from Him. They are darkened in their understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 says it like this. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They have no clue. They keep falling. They keep trying to get up. But they have no clue what's causing all this. Stinking thinking. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah chapter 61, actually 29, 15 is next. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and what? Release from darkness for the prisoners. You see, that is the purpose for us. You know, you might wonder, what is our purpose as a church? What is our purpose as Christians? It is for us to go to those who are in darkness, who have stinking thinking going on, and share with them the light of Christ. That's our purpose. And then those that are brokenhearted can be relieved. Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if thin light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, I cannot recall what it was like for me, honestly, to be without Jesus. I know when I was 8 years old, I wanted Him, but I thought the way I would get Him is by going to church and being really good. But by the time I was 14, I finally heard and understood that I needed to give my life to Jesus and He should become Lord of my life. And I don't even think about those days any longer before then, because I was dead. But now I'm alive. But there are people all around us that have never experienced life. They exist, but they've never experienced life. God's calling us to be that salt and light in their lives. The condition of their minds is futility in their thinking, darkening in their understanding, and separated from the life of God. The Scripture says that they are spiritually dead. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." He's talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, "How could somebody be born when they're old? Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one could enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to the flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying you must be born again." People don't get it when you try to tell them that they need Jesus, because they don't realize they're living in the darkness. You know what? When you live in the darkness for a while, you kind of get accustomed to it. You know where things are. You can feel your way around. You just exist. But you can't see. Not alive. Spiritually dead. This is how Paul says it. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of this. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. The ignorance that was in them. We are born with a sinful nature that knows there is a God but does not know God. I guarantee you, every child I've ever spoken to knows there's a God. They know there's a God, but they don't know Him. But if they live long enough, they start to close off that thought in their mind. Yeah, I know there. I don't know. Maybe there's not. Why is all this happening to me? It's all about me. My dad. And before long, they're so turned inward that stinking thinking sets in. The Greek term for know is nosokos, which means knowing Him by experience. You see, you can know about God intellectually. You can even believe there is a God intellectually. But until you know God by experience, you have not known God at all. The condition of their minds. Then he turns to the condition of their hearts. The last part of verse 18 says, this is the ignorance that's in them due to what? The hardening of their hearts. This is a choice. Literally, it's saying the willful hardening. They have given themselves over to the things of this world. They've made a choice. The Greek term is porosis. It sounds like a medical term. It kind of is, except it's a spiritually medical term. It means a covering with a callous, dulled perception, stubborn, not willing to listen. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you've prayed for and you wanted to tell them about Jesus, but they just didn't want to listen? Here they are. They've made a choice already that they just don't want to hear it. Don't bother me with the truth. Mark chapter 3, verse 5 says it like this. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn heart, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Even Jesus was angry at the people who would close off even considering the fact of who he was and what he could do for them. This angered Jesus that people would not believe. I mean, even though over and over and over again God would move in miraculous ways, they would write it off, or they would say it must have been something happened, or they're not ever going to give God his due. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 15. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I'm going to bring on this city and all the villages around it every disaster I pronounced against them, because why? They are stiff-necked and they would not listen to my words. That's sobering to me, because I believe one of the reasons that our nation is in such bad shape, and you could say, oh, well, it's getting better right now. We're doing better financially. Big deal. This nation is so far away from God. His name has been defamed. His presence has been pushed away. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. It's a choice. God never told us to go and tell people and make them get saved because we can't. He just told us to go and tell. They have a choice. And they can hear the truth and believe a lie. Or they can live a lie and then believe the truth. Symptoms. These are the symptoms, and you will see this in every person and every society and every nation that has this condition of their hearts. This callous, dull perception, stubborn and not willing to listen. These are the symptoms. They'll first reject God, and then that will bring about repulsive behavior and ultimately rebellion in them. Think about it, folks. That's where we are. They reject God. Oh, you know, you can believe in God if you want to, but I don't even know if there is a God. Yeah, we're tired of doing all this. We're tired of talking about him. We don't want to hear anything about him. And then the behavior continues to be deteriorated worse and worse and worse and worse. And what once would have been horrifying is now acceptable. I mean, those of us in here that are old enough know that there was a time in our nation when you couldn't say certain things on TV. You couldn't. Now you can say anything, anytime, to any crowd, and it doesn't matter. What used to be repulsive is now very acceptable. And then the people rebel. Kids are rebelling against their parents, not listening to authority. People are rebelling against the authorities in their life. And every time we step out from underneath the authority that God has given us, first himself, and then those that he's put in authority over us, every time we step outside that umbrella of authority, Satan has free reign. But it's a choice because of the condition of the heart. Those are the symptoms, and then we began to see outward signs. Insensitive, callous, so to speak, towards God. Sensuality continues to ramp up. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 talks about this. It says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." And you can just look at the society. You can look at our generations. And you can see how this has just escalated through the years. There's no resistance. There's willful disobedience. I mean, I tell you what, folks. I remember as a kid, if things that are happening today would have happened back then, every single one of those people would have been in jail. They would have served their time. They wouldn't have got out early. They would have been punished for what they had done. And they wouldn't be let loose. But today, you just look the other way. Willful disobedience. Indulgence. People saying, "I deserve this. Hey, it's no big deal if I take that. Hey, everybody's doing it." And ultimately, look at what it says here. "They're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They have lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." The word literally, insatiable, is plenonatia, which means it's impossible to satisfy. They can't get enough. Nothing can fill up the hole inside of them except God Himself. Now, you might look at this and say, "Boy, how did we let it get to this? Why, God, would our nation, why, God, would this world be in such sad shape? Why?" Well, let me look at the other side of the coin. If everybody we knew was saved, we wouldn't have a job. We'd just all go to heaven, right? But remember what Jesus said. He said, I'm sending you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you are now His ambassador, as though God is making His appeal through you. And the favorite passage I have is this: "Do not grow weary in doing what's right. But in due time you will reap a harvest if you don't faint." Fact is this, folks. Stinking thinking can be cured by God Himself. Not by us, but by God. And as we share the love of Christ with people, they understand that God loves them and gave Himself up for them. They too can receive Him, and again, they can be made renewed. A new creation. The old things pass away and all things become new. And that's our focus. That's our purpose for being here in Craig, Colorado in 2018. Because we see this all around us. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to share our faith. We're going to tell people about the good news and let God's Holy Spirit convict and draw those people unto Himself. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is not lost any of His power. We might think, "Oh, woe is me. This is worded. It's going down the tubes. Nothing can happen." You know what? God can do anything. He can touch a hardened heart. He can move in the life of people who have pushed Him away. And He can show His great love to anyone. But He's waiting for vessels who will be useful in His service. In Luke it says, we ought to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the field. Because the field is white and the harvest. and it's never been whiter. So we can't get down on ourselves and go, oh man, we have no purpose. I mean, what are we ever going to do? Let's just do what he said. With the best of our ability that God indwells us with, let's tell people about Jesus. Let's care about them. Let's love them. Let's show them the light of Christ. And when we do that, he'll do what really needs to happen in their lives. Amen? Father, thank you.